a blessing, amen? Man, I guess your whole family sings, don't they? Yeah. Heard your dad and your brother. Man, praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house today, amen? How many would rather be here than in the hospital? Yeah. How many would rather be here than in jail? How many of you ought to be in jail? Yeah. Just checking. We did that at our church one time. I do it several times, but we did it one time. So how many would rather be here in the hospital? Oh, how many would rather be here than in jail? We had a visitor kind of looking around a little bit and said, how many of y'all to be in jail? And they got out of jail just the day before and come to church. Anyway, ended up coming and getting saved that morning. Said they've had two little boys. I said, my boys deserve a better daddy than this. And, you know, getting saved is a good thing. It really is. And wonderful to be here. We're looking forward to the week. We plan on being here every service. And so we trust you'll do the same. Looking forward to what God has for us. Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. I love the Bible, don't you? It's an amazing, amazing book. It's often, you know, it's amazing how many times you can read through this book. And every time something new jumps out. You see something you've never seen before. It's not like any other book. My wife, she likes musicals, she Oklahoma and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers and and all the. I just have a problem with men that break out in song and dance. I just say I just can't wrap my mind. It's just have a, you know. She says like Seven Brides for Seven. They're manly men. She says, but okay, and. But, you know, she'll watch it over and over and over again. One year for our anniversary, I had got a cabin up at Pettigean Mountain there in Arkansas and surprised her. She thought she was just going out to eat, but I'd reserved a cabin to stay in. And I put a change of clothes in the trunk, and I got a little TV and VCR player back then. And I bought her the movie Oklahoma. And I bought her the soundtrack to Oklahoma, which my children never forgave me for. And We went to eat, and I'm driving back toward the cab. I said, where are we going? I said, I pulled in. We went in the cabin and got inside, and I started bringing this. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to sit down here and watch Oklahoma with you. And she says, you're not that crazy about musicals. I said, I know it, but I'm crazy about you, and you like musicals. And so I'm going to sit here and watch it with you, and I watch most of it. And But, you know, I can watch something like that, and when I watch it again, it's like, I've seen this. You know, I've seen this. But she'll cry at the same part every time. She'll jump at the same scary part every time. And there's one she watched. I said, now, you know that little mouse is going to jump out of the floor right here. You know, Indian in the cupboard, I think, or something like that. That little mouse. And she screams every time. I said, it's coming. She said, I know it. I'm ready. And it jumps out. Ah! And she screams. And, you know, it's all new to her every time. But one time went, she wanted me to just take a book and read it. So we went and got away for a day. And I grabbed a book, an old Western, and read it. And it was good. And she won't do that again later on. I picked the book up, took it, and I'm reading it. I'm thinking, I've read this already. Just, you know, but the Bible's not that way. Amen. You know, every time I open it up, it's like something. I never saw that. I never noticed that. Something. It's just an amazing book, isn't it? I love it this morning. Just amazing, amazing book. Luke chapter number 2. And we next month is December with Christmas coming up. And last year, we tried every Sunday morning, Sunday night, to bring some kind of message dealing with something regarding the Christmas story. And it might be the wise men and how far they traveled, and maybe preach on how far you're willing to go. And it may be just a variety of things within there. But I noticed something last year while reading this that just kind of jumped out at me that I just never noticed before. And it really, really didn't have anything to do with the Christmas story. But as I read on further, and there's an account that's given here in the Bible that if you've been churching any length of time, you're familiar with the account. I mean, a lot of messages preached from this portion of Scripture, but something really jumped out at me that I never had noticed before, and God began to deal with my heart about some things, and I figured if it was a help to me, it might be a help to someone else as well, and I just figure you're made of the same flesh I'm made of. Yeah, I've got a rotten flesh, by the way, and I'll tell you how rotten my flesh is. It's exactly like yours.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I got to deal with every day. And thank Luke chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading verse 39. When you find it, I ask you to stand with us if you're willing and able to. If you're not willing, not able, that's fine. You can remain seated, but you are able and willing to stand with us as we read the scripture. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 39. The Bible said, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Now, Jesus has just been born, and on the eighth day, of course, they had circumcised the child and named him. And then after her time of purification, six-week deal, they brought Jesus now to the temple. They presented him to the Lord, as the Bible said they ought to do, and that's what they're talking about here. And they run into Simeon there and Anna there. And when they fulfilled all these things, they go back to Nazareth now. In verse number 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Father, again, thank you for the privilege we have to be in this place this morning. Dear God, we mean that from the depth of our soul. What a privilege, what an honor to be gathered in your house with your people. God, we thank you for the dear man of God and his precious wife you've sent this way and their family and the people that you've given to them. And God, I pray you just put your hand, keep your hand upon this ministry as they strive to be a light shining in this community. And Father, help us to be a help this week. God, we yield to you the best we know how. We'd be the first to admit how desperately we need you. And God, I pray we might sense your warm breath upon our soul. Give us words to speak this morning. Give us words that will meet needs we didn't even know existed. God, when it's all said and done, might you get the glory out of all that's done. I pray your people would listen on purpose this morning. And Father, if there's any here that don't know you as Savior, I pray this be the day you convict their heart and they turn from sin and trust your finished work on Calvary. God, maybe some have been saved but drifted from you. Sure would be a good day to come back home. So I pray you do that work only you can. And I promise we'll take time and give you the praise for all that's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Joseph and Mary had a great relationship with the Lord. Matter of fact, even as young people, before they were married, as young people, they had a great relationship with the Lord. They walked with God. God was able to talk to them. They would listen to what the Lord had to say. They would obey the Lord. Even when things were difficult, they leaned upon him. They looked to him and had a great relationship with the Lord. By the way, that's really what it's all about, our relationship with him. When God made man and placed him in the garden, it was that he could fellowship with him. We were made for fellowship. That's what God made us for. And we enjoy fellowship. Very seldom, if I'm by myself and I'm going somewhere to preach, I usually don't go inside and sit down and eat. I usually just hit a drive-through and get it on the way, because there's nothing fun about going in and sitting down and eating by yourself. I've never called a restaurant and made a reservation for one. And gone in and sat down and sit there for hours and eat and say to myself, boy, this was great. I got to do this again sometime. Never happened. We're made for fellowship. God designed us that way because he wants to fellowship with us. And he desires that fellowship so great that when the fellowship was broken, when man sinned, he was willing to send his son to die on Calvary, that fellowship could be restored. It's all about a relationship with him. And Joseph and Mary both had a good relationship with the Lord. They knew him. They listened to him. They obeyed him. He was very personal. personal in their life. And they developed some good routines because of that relationship. And they wanted to keep that relationship real in their life. Verse 41, the Bible says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And so they didn't miss a service. They set up some good routines because they wanted a good relationship with the Lord. Church was important to them. When I got saved, it was a wonderful day in my life. I'm telling you, it changed everything. I'm so thankful for what God has done in my heart, what he's done in my life, what he's done in my home. He's a great God. And I love him this morning with all my heart. And there was a journey that began. It was a great relationship. But to keep that relationship strong, there's some routines that we've set up in our life. We determine we're going to be faithful to the house of God. And we want to be there and listen to the preaching. Let God speak to us, grow in our Christian life. We develop a relationship of reading, a routine of reading our Bible. And we develop routines of prayer and prayer time. We develop routines of witnessing and passing out tracts and speaking to others about the Lord. And all these routines are set up to help us in our relationship. And Mary and Joseph developed some good routines in their life. Matter of fact, they've been married for about 12 years now. They got married just shortly after Jesus was born, and he took her as wife and knew her not. So about time she's expecting anyway. You know the story, the account, and they got married in that time frame. He knew her not until she brought forth the firstborn son. So he's 12 years of age in our reading. So for 12 years, they as a married couple have been faithful to come. It's no longer them individually as a young man or a young lady. Now that they're married, they've set these routines within their married home as well. And they're faithful as a married couple to the house of God. For 12 years now, they've been faithful to this. They have other children that are born. Jesus had several brothers and sisters. And so I don't know really exactly how many children they have at this point. But every time they're coming to the house of God, they're getting their family ready and they're coming to the house of God. And it's a routine that they had within their life they wouldn't miss. Every year they come to the Passover, to the feast of the Passover that was there. My wife and I, God's blessed us with 6 children. We've got 3 boys and 3 girls. Somebody said that's just like a Baptist preacher, won't take a stand either way, you know. And we've got 23 grandchildren now. And when we had our first 18 grandchildren, was 9 boys and 9 girls. And then the girls kind of took over from there. They've been all girls ever since. And so we've got 23 grandchildren. But even with our children, when we got saved and our children then, it was a routine. We get the children ready. We come to the house of God. Church was a priority. This is a routine in our life. We had boys that were all conference basketball players, but their coaches knew they didn't miss church. If there's practice on Wednesday night, they're at church. If there's a game on Wednesday night, they were at church. And they knew that. This was a priority. These were routines we set within our life. And Joseph and Mary had some good routines. Routines that they set within their life to help keep that relationship what it needs to be. But over a period of time, their routine replaced their relationship. Over a period of time, it became something they did and not something they were. You know, this thing of Christianity, this is not something we do, this is who we are. But it became a routine instead of a relationship. Verse 41 talks about they're coming to the feast of the Passover. This ought to be a highlight in the Christian's life. This is a time that they would celebrate the Passover lamb. This is a time that they'd celebrate their redemption. This is a time when the blood was placed upon the door and the death angel passed over. They're celebrating. They're coming out of Egypt. They're celebrating a new journey. They're beginning and going to a new land and a new direction. It's a celebration of a wonderful journey. And when that blood was applied to our heart, it's also the beginning of a wonderful journey. And you know, when we gather together in the house of God, we ought to be very, very mindful of the day that he saved us and the wonderful life he gave to us and the new journey that we're on. He's delivered us from a past life. We've got a wonderful life ahead of us. So this was a highlight to them when they would go to the feast of the Passover every year. But the Bible says in verse number 2, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. It's written in the context that they're fulfilling the custom and not really participating in the feast. Matter of fact, the Bible said verse 43, when they had fulfilled the days. The word fulfilled the days is it's taken from a word which means to complete the labor. It means I did what I was supposed to do. I fulfilled my routine. I was supposed to be at church, I was at church. I was supposed to pass out a tract, I passed out a tract. I was supposed to read my Bible, I read my Bible. I was supposed to pray, I prayed. They did what was required. They did what was expected to do. They performed, they fulfilled, if you would, the days. They did everything that was expected of them, but it's centering on the fact that they fulfilled the routine. But they missed the relationship because when they left someone behind. And their routine has now replaced their relationship. In verse 39, when you see when their married life has started out and Jesus is born, they bring him to the temple. Verse 39 says, when they performed all things according to the law. The word performed is different than fulfilled. The word performed, it means to set for a definite goal. It means there's a purpose in why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's not about what I'm doing. It's a purpose behind it. And the Bible says back in verse number 22, when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It wasn't a matter of going through a routine. It was a matter of being in the presence. It was all about the Lord. It was about a relationship. It was about him. And when they started off together, it was a relationship that they had. And all the routines were there to help promote that relationship. But over a period of time, it all became about the routine. And they missed out on the relationship. I want to speak for the next 3 hours on the subject. Some of you laughed, some didn't. They don't laugh at our place. We may have some visitors that will chuckle, and our people go, don't encourage him. He can do it. You know, he can do it. No, I won't be long. If you don't know much, it doesn't take you long to say it. So we won't be long. It does gripe me a little bit, though. These singers get up and sing a song, and they get done, and somebody will say, sing it again. And we get up, pour our hearts out, and nobody jumps up and says, preach it again. Yeah. Never, never, never. Had one of my men say, if it was only 4 minutes long, they might. So anyway, that's a... He also told me he's never heard a bad short message. Anyway, that's a... We took church discipline on him. No, it's more than a routine. It's a relationship. Verse 43, they fulfilled the days, but they left without Jesus. Their routine had replaced their relationship, and they became satisfied with their routine. And one day, they noticed his presence was gone. One day, it's just not like it was. Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? Basically saying, why did you have to search for me? I'm about my Father's business, aren't you? I mean, it is about him. Yeah. Isn't that what you're interested in? Or are you content with just the customs and coming and fulfilling your days? Did we get to the place where we're just content going through the motions? We're doing everything we know we're supposed to be doing, but it's not about a routine. It's about a relationship with him. I want to give you about 400 things this morning. When it becomes a routine, and by the way, this can happen so easy to every one of us. We're talking about Mary and Joseph. We're talking about some godly people that were godly as young people that God looked down and said, this is the couple that I want to put Jesus with. We're talking about a godly young couple. And after 12 years of marriage, and you could set a routine. My marriage can become more of a routine than a relationship. Just doing everything I know I'm supposed to be doing. But marriage is not about it is about a relationship. I say over and over, you know, that young lady's got one life to live on this earth. And she chose to spend it with me. One life. And when life is all said and done, I want her to be able to say that was a good choice. It's more than a routine, it's a relationship. When it became a routine, first of all, they distanced themselves from Christ. How long did it take them to find him when they went back? 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days away from, they distanced themselves from Christ and didn't even know how much they distanced. I mean, they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. But with a routine, you distance yourself. It could be within a marriage. If it's just a routine, I'm doing everything I know I'm supposed to be doing. But if it's not a relationship, we find ourselves distancing one from another. And within the Christian life, I can be doing everything I know I'm supposed to be doing, but it's more than a routine. It's about a relationship. The routines are meant to build that. I'm not just here because I'm supposed to be in church and it's a habit, though it's a good habit. And it's no. I'm here because it's about a relationship. I want to see Him and I want to hear from Him and I want Him to speak to my heart and I want Him to draw me closer to Him. It's not about the routine. It's about a relationship with Him. Amen. When it became routine, they distance themselves from Christ. When it became routine, they took things for granted. Verse 44 says, but they supposing Him to have been in the company. They just took for granted He was always there. Just when it becomes routine, you take things for granted. But when it becomes routine in my Christian life, I take my church for granted. I take my pastor for granted. I take the Bible for granted. I take His Holy Spirit for granted. I take other Christians for granted. Within my marriage, when it becomes a routine, I take my wife for granted. The problem with taking things for granted is you stop being thankful. When it's about a relationship, that's when I come to church and say, God, thank You for the church You've given me to come. Thank You for the man of God that stands behind the pulpit and preaches to us and teaches us and prays for us. Thank You to God for His dear wife. Thank You to God for the church folk that are gathered here. And God, thank You for the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. You've been a good God to me. And if you traveled much, you'd find there's a lot of places where you live where you don't have a good church to go to. And you start taking that for granted. And you take God for granted and salvation for granted. And when it becomes a routine, you start taking things for granted. And when you do, you stop being thankful. I mean, after all, this we're talking about the Passover. And they knew this was the Messiah. So this was about a relationship. Don't you think they'd have had Him right up in the midst of them? Said, boy, we remember when You were promised and we remember when You were born and 12 years have passed and the shepherds come and recognized You and the kings came and You are the Passover lamb. And yes. And I mean, Simeon and all, they knew that. Don't you think if it was about a relationship, they'd have had Him right in the midst of them and talking with Him on the way back? But they didn't realize He wasn't there. When it became a routine, they minimized the importance of the house of God. Wow. The Bible says, as they went back, verse number 44, and they supposed Him to have been in the company one day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple. You know, it's an amazing thing. When they realized there was problems, the first place they should have ran to was the house of God. That's where they're going to find Him. That's where they left Him. But you know, when it becomes a routine and you find yourself facing some things within your life, the first place you ought to go is to the house of God and say, God, speak to me. Let the Word of God speak to my heart. He does have the answer to all of our problems. But first they went to their family. Verse 44, they supposed Him had been coming. When a day's journey, they sought Him amongst their kinfolk. Then they went to their friends, their acquaintances. What do they have to say? Then they went to the folks of the city, verse 45, when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him. It's amazing when people have problems. So, you know, they'll get advice from family, they'll get advice from friends, they'll get advice from people in the city. Somebody told me one time, getting counsel from the worldly people is like trying to wash the mud off your feet while you're standing in a mud puddle. It's just not going to work. And after 3 days, finally, when nothing else would work, they decide to go to the house of God. You know, when it becomes a routine, you minimize the importance of the house of God. This is the most special place to be for the child of God. And he even asked, you know, when they, you know, wish ye not, it must be about my Father's business. Why is this the last place you come to look? I mean, it's the first place you're taking for granted and the last place you go to look when you need something from him. Then let me say this. When it became a routine, they blamed him for things that did not go right. Verse 48 says this, and when they saw him, they were amazed. The word amazed means to strike out or to drive out by a blow or do harm. It has to do with being angry or being upset. Verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. The only place in the Bible where she calls him son. Now, son can be a precious word throughout the Proverbs. You find it can be an endearing word. But a lot of times when a mother uses that word and she's not happy. Yeah. I remember often our oldest son, Tom, he called one day and he says, I just need to apologize. He said, you know, a lot of times you and mom, dad, when I do something and you'd say, son, he said, it used to really bother me because I'm thinking he's so frustrated. He doesn't even know my name, you know, just son. And you're so upset. You couldn't even say Tom. It was just son. So frustrated. He said, but now with my son Levi, he said, I find myself saying, son. He said, I just want to call and apologize to you. I understand. But here she gets son and comes across in that manner. And we've sought thee sorrowing. You've caused us heartache. Yeah. Why have you done this to us? And when it becomes a routine, you begin to blame God for things don't go. I don't understand. I'm going to church and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No, he's not interested in you just having a routine. He's interested in you having a relationship. So sometimes he's got to bring some things in our life to shake up our routine that we get back to understanding. He doesn't want a routine. He wants a relationship with us.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Yep. How was it you sought me? I didn't leave you. When it became routine, they missed his message. Verse 50. Verse 49, he said to them, how's that you sought me? He wished it to be about my father's business. Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. You know, it becomes a routine and you come to church because it's a routine. When it becomes a routine and not a relationship, a lot of times you miss the message that the preacher delivers. Because your whole purpose was just being here. You didn't come here for relationship. God speak to me. No, it was just being here because it's a routine. And you'll be back tonight. You'll be back the next night. But if it's just a routine, you miss the message. They didn't understand when he was trying to speak to them. You'll miss the message in your Bible. You'll miss the message in preaching. It's a routine. I read my chapters for the day. I got this many done. It's not about how much of the word you get into. It's about how much of the word gets in you. You can stand neck deep in water and die of thirst. Yeah. It's not being in the water that helps you. It's getting the water in you. God, speak to me. It's not just a matter of a routine being at church. God, speak to my heart. Convict me. Do a work within my heart. But when it's a routine, you miss the message. Compare this. Back to verse number 33. When it was a relationship and a message was given, verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. When it's a relationship and someone stood and spoke, they left saying, man, wasn't that good? And they marveled at the things that were spoken of them and they received the message. But when it became a routine, they missed it. Mary determined it was time to get a relationship back. Look at verse 51. Verse 50 says, they understood not the saying which he spake. Verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. The word kept means to watch thoroughly and observe strictly. In her heart, what she's saying is, this has got to be a relationship here. Not just a routine. And Mary is seen with Christ all the way to the cross, at the tomb, in the upper room. She's seen journeying with him all the way because this has become a relationship to her. And if it's just a routine, it may kill you and your family. You see what he's saying? Joseph is never heard from again. This is the last mention of Joseph. They understood not, but Mary said, she, his mother, kept. That statement's never said to Joseph.
Wow.
Mary made it a relationship. Nothing. Joseph's never heard from again. Many commentators or people suppose that he died. I don't know. If he did, his death isn't even recorded. Now you think somebody like Joseph, certain note will be taken. But it could be he just... Matter of fact, I'll tell you what else has happened. Jesus had half brothers and sisters. You know, Joseph's children. And the truth is, they never got saved till after Jesus rose from the dead. John chapter 7, verse, matter of fact, turn there. I want you to see it. John chapter 7. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked into Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand, and his brethren therefore, and we're talking about his physical brethren, you'll see that in a little bit. His brethren therefore said to him, depart hence and go to Judea, that thy disciples, so these aren't disciples that are talking to him, they're talking about his disciples. His physical brethren, his half-brothers, depart hence and go to Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus, growing up within the home, his own half-brothers. Now, they didn't get saved later in life, because you find them in the upper room after Jesus rose from the dead. Maybe Joseph's routine kept them from ever getting to know Christ, because it was just about a routine, not a relationship. If all your children are going to see is a routine out of you, they're going to miss it. And perhaps over the course of time, the children noticed Mary's relationship, and it finally brought them to Christ. I don't know if I'm reading too much into Joseph and Mary. I don't mean to be. But if it's not true for them, I could give you a list of people we've pastored over the years that we could tell the story over and over and over and over again, where their routine replaced the relationship and it cost them their family. You know what revival really is all about? It's about getting our relationship back. The psalmist said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. It's about just a relationship, rejoicing in him. We started off early in evangelism, and we traveled a lot of times in those days. We, with several children, there'd be churches that would call and say, we want you to come, but we really can't take care of the family. We want you to come by yourself. And we'd do that. And I remember I was gone one time for several weeks. And whenever I would be coming home, my wife would tell the children, Daddy's coming, Daddy's coming, Daddy's coming. She'd make a big deal. This was back before cell phones, you know, back, you know, when dinosaurs roamed the earth and all that. And she'd make a big deal. Daddy's coming home, Daddy's coming home. And I can remember pulling that car up in the driveway, and she'd know about what time I was coming, and they'd be looking out the window. And when I pulled in, boy, they're bolting out the door. And as soon as I get, Daddy, 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 and they come and throw their arms around me, and man, the loving is on, the rejoicing is on, and man, it was just great, Daddy, Daddy, and just loving on Daddy. And then after a period of time, and we things settled down, I'd say, oh, by the way, I got something for you. And I'd go out in the trunk and open it up, and I'd always try to get them something from places we'd been, and I'd bring it in and give them the things that I brought them. The loving was on all over again. But you know, after a period of time, it got to be when I pulled in the drive, they come running out. Instead of saying, Daddy, 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 they said, what'd you get me? And they got more wrapped up in the blessings than they did the blesser.
Wow.
Yeah. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people might rejoice in thee? Not just in what you do. No, no, this is a relationship. This is not a routine. This is a relationship. So I guess I could ask a question this morning. How's your relationship?
Good.
With Him? It always starts off good when you get saved, doesn't it? This is wonderful. This, the songs they speak to are, man, just this is great. Then we set some routines to help our relationship. We want to be faithful at church. We want to read our Bible and have a prayer time. Get involved in witnessing and soul winning. But if we're not careful, the routine replaces our relationship. Now we get distance, and we start missing the message, and we'll lose our children. Yeah. Yeah. Father, thank you for the morning you've given to us. Thank you for your Bible. What an amazing, amazing book. It sure convicts my heart. It feeds my soul. I thank you for it. And dear God, we pray this morning. You've laid this message on my heart. I don't believe it's by accident. There might be someone this morning, dear God, you're interested in trying to salvage a bit. They at one time had a great relationship with you. Had they set up the right routines to keep the relationship just as Joseph and Mary did, but over the course of time, the routine has kind of replaced the relationship. The joy is gone. The closeness is gone. Oh, doing everything we know we're supposed to be doing. But it's just become routine. And dear God, I pray this morning, they might do as Mary did. And take these things to heart.